TanCast does not represent the stand-up of Tim Babb.
These conversations are raw, explicit,
and contain adult themes and content.
This podcast is not recommended for younger listeners or anyone.
Loving you is easy 'cause you're Andy and you sound beautiful. You brighten up my day. Ooh, Andy had a little orgasm in his little pantaloonies.
No, I was just singing along, guys.
He's lauding his underwear, if you know what I mean.
He dropped a lot in his underwear.
Oh. I almost dropped a lot in my underwear, but thankfully, I was already heading to the bathroom.
I think it would be hilarious if for just one day you just decided on some voice, some random voice, didn't matter what it is, and you just used the whole fucking day and just did not, like, people ask you, like, what's going on? They look you weird, just, like, act like nothing's going on.
So we just started watching the Scream series with Drew because I felt like we'd watched enough other horror movies, that he'd get references in Scream. And in Scream 2, at one point, Jamie Kennedy just starts using a British accent in the middle of a scene and uses it for the whole rest of the scene, and nobody comments on it.
I don't remember that.
I didn't either. It was very surprising when it happened.
This is Scream 1?
No, 2. Yeah, they're talking about, like, stuff is happening again, and Neve Campbell, like, you know, goes to grab him from his film class, where, like, a whole bunch of other stars, like, it's crazy how many other young stars were in that film class with him. They walk outside and she's telling him about, you know, like, you know, it's killings and maybe it's a copycat or maybe it's somebody coming for us. And he's like, oh, maybe it's one of us. You never know. and that's just the rest of the conversation for him. And she doesn't react like he's doing a bit. She just keeps talking like this is a normal conversation I'm having with the Randy character. By the way, Tim, I did have a little moment. I like a little sigh and aw when in Scream 1 the voice goes, maybe that's because I'm not Randy. Like, oh, Tim once changed that to be my name. And as a narcissist, I like that.
It's all about me.
Me, me,
me, me. What the fuck is going on?
Me? You asking me what's going on?
Yeah.
Yes, it definitely
you
is.
You asking me what's going on?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's going on.
Tim.
Andy.
Noah.
TanCast.
Hi, I'm Tim Babb, a comedian you never heard of. Each week, I get together with my buddies Andy and Noah and record this podcast. Unlike most podcasts, it's not about something specific. We just talk about whatever. Like this week, we'll talk about some of this.
I'm going to laugh when just Tim gets super into it and just becomes like this buff boxer dude. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? it's yours is important. It is dull. It is dull. Wait, what
the fuck? Just the fact that the story starts with fucking.
Yes.
I probably will never watch it.
Probably.
And not because it doesn't sound good. It's just like there are a lot of things I'm trying to do with my limited time around here.
There are indeed a lot of things.
And when you hear this sound,
who are you calling a cootie queen, you lint licker?
That means we've put a link to whatever we were just talking about in the show notes. Okay, let's start the show.
TanCast.
Welcome to TanCast.
Oh yeah, we did do that part.
Oh yeah, nope. 3 minutes later.
Glad yeah, what do you
do? I mean,
I'm Tim.
Sorry, what? Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, it doesn't matter. No one's listening anymore, but I'm Tim, the T in TanCast.
I'm Andy, the A in TanCast.
I'm Noah, the N in TanCast. And here's a thought I had. What point is it not okay just to leave your child at a fire station?
Speaking as the father of a 15-year-old, I'm going to say 16, probably.
I was like, me and my friend were walking by like this fire station that had like one of those safe drop off things, although it didn't seem to have like a little slot or anything. But I'm like, there must be
a slot for putting the baby in.
What? Like, are you supposed to just leave outside in the cold?
Yeah.
I thought they had slots where you could like, it would gently go in. Am I making this up?
No.
Yes.
No, I swear to God, I think I've heard this.
I'm pretty sure that you're not just supposed to like abandon your child in front of it. I'm pretty sure you're supposed to walk up and like make sure that a human takes control of the child that you are safe dropping off.
I'm just picturing like a playground slide or something, and it's just like woo.
State installs baby boxes in effort to protect unwanted infants. Boom, motherfucker.
I mean, that's probably because of the number of people like just being like
baby. What's a
scumbags.
Baby box? How does that protect it? You can't put it in a box.
I'm like, I know I'm not making this up.
Baby box. Like, what wait, now they're stacked up. Like, nobody checked the babies again. We got a bunch of them in the.
I thought you were supposed to. I don't know
and
why I had this
in
idea.
Charge of getting the babies now they're just piled up in a corner.
It's like a trope in movies of you know people abandoning babies on other people's doorsteps, and like basically playing ding dong ditch with a human.
For some reason, I thought like that you didn't want to be connected to the baby, so you just dropped it off and like no one knew who you were.
I mean, like
I didn't know you. I realized you just handed it to the person that they would ask no questions
unless you like know the people at the fire station personally, you could be like, hey, I can't take care of this baby. Who are you? Jane Doe. And it's like, okay, you got the baby. All right. Bye-bye, Ron.
but there must be some rule, right, where or law where it's like past a certain age, you can't just or can you always just like be like, I don't want this child anymore and
oh,
just
no,
give
I'm,
it.
I'm sure you're right. I'm sure there's a law governing like
I was like, what is that cutoff? Like I give a test run for a good 3 months. I don't think I'm feeling it.
I do feel compelled to state for the record that Drew is a good kid and I love him and it would break my heart to be without him and I have no thoughts of abandoning him or sorry.
It's gonna happen someday. He's gonna leave. He's gonna go off and start his own life. You're gonna sit there in that house staring at his old toys and crying.
I know I am. Caitlin was talking to him about the fact that like 2 years from very like 2 years and 2 months from now he graduates high school. And you know, she was talking to him about if he wanted to do calculus, if he did it during high school, then his mom and I will be around to help him with calculus. And he's like, I mean, you'll still be around while I'm in college. She's like, well, yeah, but you know, you don't know where you're going to go to college. He's like, oh no. I'm going to go to college locally and I'm going to continue to live here. She's like, okay, that's sweet, but that's also 2 years from now. And you don't really know if that's what you're going to want to do in 2 years or, you know, like what things are going to be available to you. He's like, Nope. I'm going to live in my room. Gonna stay here with you guys. I'm like, oh, I mean, part of me is like, oh, I don't want like, you know, failure to launch. I want him to go out and experience the world and you know, have college experiences and not, you know, just like live at home with his parents and continue to have, you know, high school experiences or whatever. You know, I don't want my child to be stunted emotionally, but I'm also really happy that he wants to keep living with me for longer. I don't think I'm going to be ready to say goodbye in 2 years.
Wow. That is coming up soon.
It is. I mean, I wouldn't be saying goodbye. He'd still, you know, like, still live here. It'd just be like he stays in dorms or whatever, you know? Like, he'd still come back for holidays or, you know, long weekends or whatever, depending on how far away he goes.
Fuck.
But, like, he's coming to the end of his sophomore year. I became very aware of that. Tim, he asked me something about the origin of Coben Hootie. And
yikes.
And I said something about like, yeah, man, like the fact that our friend Scott's mom had such a strong reaction, like overreaction and was like listening on the phone when my brother said the words Coben Hootie to him on the phone. The fact that she freaked out is the reason that became like a thing as opposed to like a joke that Scott made one day about how bad your handwriting was. Like,
I don't remember the Scott's mom freaking out part.
Oh, well, I mean, this is after Coben Hootie had kind of escaped your orbit.
Oh, I see.
I still don't remember. Was it Robin Hood apostrophe S or Robin Hood semicolon that made the I in Coben Hootie?
It was apostrophe S.
Okay. So
maybe
it was
that's
worse.
Because I'm not Andy.
Yes. Sorry.
Took me a while to find it. It's in a really old file.
I mean, by really old, do you mean 20? Because, 25? Holy shit.
I was like, it's older than 20.
You still have that file?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it was... So this laptop is transferred stuff from my old desktop, which had a file of stuff that was transferred from an old desktop, which had a stuff that was transferred from a desktop before that. That's how far I had to dig down to find it.
I'm impressed you kept it all.
We gotta go deeper. We gotta go deeper.
Tim doesn't reorganize. He just continues to nest.
What is, I feel like I've heard Coben Hootie.
So Tim was writing, I think it was a poem for whatever.
It was a play.
A play. Okay. So it was for theater in 11th grade. I was able to suss out that it was 11th grade because Scott was there. Like, Scott was aware of it and he was a grade above us. And my brother was there, which means it had to be in our junior year because that's when he started high school.
Well done, Encyclopedia Brown. You did it.
Yeah, I solved that mystery. I figured out when it happened.
No one's any closer to understanding what it means, but we know how you found out exactly what year it was.
Noah, in our junior year, Tim was writing a play, something about Robin Hood's something, and Tim has, as I do, I'm not one to talk, notoriously bad handwriting.
What? And, not my Tim.
A friend of ours named Scott.
Your Tim.
Saw this piece of paper that Tim was working on that said Robin Hood's apostrophe S, but like Tim hadn't like closed off the top of the R and the capital R, and the apostrophe S was the apostrophe was kind of sitting over the S, and the S was more of a suggestion of an S than it was. It's kind of a slashy line. And so Scott's just reading over his shoulder, goes, "What the hell's Coben Hootie?" I'm pretty sure he knew it was supposed to be Robin Hood's. I'm pretty sure he was just in his Scott way giving Tim shit. But he laughed. I love silly words. We know, like, this is why I like YouTube poops. I love it when words are silly. This is also why I love Monty Python. And my brother thought it was funny. And then, like, I don't know if it was later that day or later that week or what, but it was a fairly short period of time after that. Scott had called my house to talk to me. My brother had picked up the phone. And as they were exchanging pleasantries, one of them made a reference to like, hey, and how's Coben Hootie doing? And Scott's mother, who was super controlling, super Catholic mom, she was like monitoring his calls. But like when he made calls, she would pick up another line and like, you know, mute her receiver. So he didn't hear breathing or whatever. And she would like listen in on his phone calls and she hears Coben Hootie and she starts yelling, "Scott, what is Coben Hootie? Are you playing Dungeons and Dragons again?" And him, to piss his mom off, tells his mom that Coben Hootie is his new personal God and that he started a cult with my brother and they worship Coben Hootie now. And my brother
he was just like poking that bear.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And my brother thought that was hilarious. And then Coben Hootie became a thing. Like, my brother, when we were playing video games, he would like enter Coben Hootie as his name just for the additional laughs about it. Yeah.
And it's also like, it's so funny to think about, like, and maybe a little less now that people are trying to create memes. But yeah, like the memes back in the day is just like something stupid that maybe someone put on the internet and then it just like grabbed onto like other things, you know, people like, "Oh, I like this."
Yep.
Even that, the fact like it lasted way longer than it should have.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Hey, look at this thing that Tim misspelled.
Yep.
Or, you know, look at Tim's crappy handwriting that it looks like this word. But then it lasted for well into college before we stopped caring about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was, I think it really was solidified by the strong reaction that Scott's mom had to it and how funny that was to my brother. Like, Scott poking his mom about Coben Hootie, because that's fucking ridiculous any way you look at it.
Let's bring it back, guys. Bring back Coben Hootie.
Well, I mean, a new generation is aware of Coben Hootie now. I've told my son about it, and he's asked.
spread the story long and far.
Follow-up questions, including, like, yesterday or the day before, as like we're heading out to go grab some dinner. And he's like, what was the deal with Coben Hootie again? And as we're talking, I'm like, and that's the reason, like 30 years later, I still remember it, as opposed to that just being some lost memory from, and I started doing the math. I was like, oh, holy shit. Yeah. That was 31 years ago. Cause I was a junior. Yep. Oh shit. Like that's, I'm about the age. I was about the age when that happened, as you are right now. Like this, that's how fucking old he has gotten. And by extension, that's how much fucking older I've gotten over this time. It's like, Jesus, like that is the point of life that he is at right now. Like, and I've had this realization, Tim, I'm sure you've gone through it too. Like I've had this realization of like major milestones in my life and realizing, oh fuck, that's the age that Drew is now.
Mm-hmm. I often just look at the benchmarks of Drew's life and I'm like, wow, that's a major milestone. Oh. No, I didn't get that I was joking. Because I don't measure anything by Drew's life. I measure my own kids, which is what Andy was actually implying, but I was being obtuse on purpose.
I wasn't paying that close attention. I'll be sure with you.
Oh, Tim. Oh, you're not even listening? Oh, I'm going to give you crap about it, even though it affects me not at all.
Oh. Tim, it was a laudable attempt.
Is this something you want to say to me?
Oh, what?
Is this something Tim, you want to get off your chest, buddy?
Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
Tim, I think it only missed its mark because Noah was being obstinate.
Are you trying to use another of your $10 words this morning?
No, that's just a normal word I use.
I was like, I feel like obstinate is not as out of the box as laudable.
Oh. I feel like I hear laudable more than obstinate.
Well, you're not being obstinate enough.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't have children. Tim wakes up every morning. This
that's
obstinacy will not stand.
So I guess this is a good time in the break in the action to ask the question,
how the fuck was everyone's week? Was it good times or was it? We'll find out on our very next segment.
What was that laugh?
You laughed at something last time, and that's how I was like, ooh, you really enjoyed that. You're like, ooh. I'm like, it almost sounds like you're trying to do a cartoon laugh, but you legitimately laughed that way.
I sound like Pooh Bear.
Oh, that was Mario to me.
Oh, yeah, I can hear that.
Oh, man, this is the black and blue, gold and white dress of laughs.
I feel like I could see Pooh Bear just getting some honey and just laughing like, but I could also see what you're saying, Andy, where it's like Mario sliding down a thing.
Oh, no, see, I was imagining it like that's the noise that Mario makes when he comes off.
Oh, come on.
What?
Oh.
Andy, come on. This is a family show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Come on.
Jesus Christ.
You fuck knuckle.
Yeah.
Yes, I am a fuck knuckle. Yes.
Like, you ever try to think of something and just your brain's like, just can't grab onto anything? I was like, oh, what's something offensive often. I can say right now? I'm like, I got nothing.
Last night I was at a fundraiser dinner dance thing for my son's school.
Mm-hmm.
And also for my birthday. And birthday. I was talking to one of the other parents there. And he's like, your wife's really funny. Wait, I'm doing the wrong accent. He's from England, not Australia.
Okay.
Anybody, he's like, your wife's really funny, like really funny. And I told him I was a comedian. He's like, clearly she's the brains of the comedy outfit, though.
So she didn't do it. He didn't do it the other way, where it's like, well, don't they usually like make it like, oh, are you funny because your husband's funny? In the other way.
Yep. I think it helped that he didn't learn I was a comedian until well after he found my wife funny. And I think he found my wife way funnier than me.
Like, well, shit.
And he's from England, and he was talking about how Americans, he's like, Americans view cheese as a condiment. Like, it's supposed to be a meal unto itself. I was like, oh, well, I got bad news for you. The only cheese I eat comes in individually wrapped plastic slices. And they're like, ah, I was like, yeah, that's right. Deal with me.
I mean, a lot of people say
the boss of America,
the final boss.
A lot of people say that's best for the burgers.
Yeah. Because of the melty. Yeah.
Yeah.
American cheese is best for the burgers, or having it individually wrapped in plastic is best for the burgers?
No, the American cheeses. Or some, that, whatever they do to, it doesn't have to be Well, I guess like that style, there's something they put in there that makes it melty, and that's supposed to be good for burgers.
Yep.
Ha ha! Well, it's definitely good for grilled cheeses. I'll tell you that right now.
Mm. I do not love the taste of it, though. Yeah.
Yep. I agree.
Well, more from Tim.
I mean, I will eat it on a burger because then, like, you're not really like tasting it as much. Like, you're kind of tasting the other things. But I do prefer other cheeses on burgers. I don't care about.
I'll tell you what, my sons, well, specifically Michael, will not have any of it.
Yeah, that's right. Good job,
Michael. Like, James makes a joke of it, but I don't think he really cares. Like, he's like, "Daddy, you eat the disgusting cheese. That's not even technically cheese." Yeah.
Oh, man. I guess he's got Janelle's sense of humor.
Oh, since I already wrenched the mic away and started talking about my week, my birthday was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so my family got me a punching bag, which I've wanted for a long time. Uh-huh. And boxing gloves for the punching bag, and they're like these cool Captain America punching boxing gloves. So like one glove kind of looks like his shield, and the other glove kind of looks like his costume. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they're really cool, but in order for the base to stay still, you have to fill it with 350 pounds of sand so that when you punch it, it doesn't just fly across the room.
Would water work too?
Probably. Probably would have been a better idea.
Because, I mean, like, how do you get that much sand?
Sand.
Oh, you go to Home Depot, no, Lowe's, and you buy 5 bags of 50 pounds of sand. And then you get home, and they tell you, idiot, you need 7 bags of 50 pounds of sand. So then you go back to Home Depot, Lowe's, and you buy 2 more bags. And then you spend a good hour when you're supposed to be getting ready for the thing you said you just, the dinner dance that you were supposed to be going to, trying to finagle these bags of sand into a funnel into the base. Tim, does that fuck up your back? 100%. My back is fucked right
now. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, it feels like water might be good too.
Yeah, that would have been a great idea. I mean, we had a hose right next to it. Could have just slosh.
Sand is a lot denser than water, though. Like, a lot. That's why sand doesn't float.
But is that good?
350 pounds of, like, yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
it feels like it would still be a lot, but maybe not enough.
It's somewhere, I'm not going to do all the math, but it's somewhere between 40 and 45, I think, gallons of water. That's a lot.
I mean, the base is huge. Like, it fit 7, well, it hasn't yet. It fit 5 bags of sand, then it was like, I got to get ready. And also, my back is screaming at me. And it still hurt. Like, I went to turn over in bed. I was like, ah!
Tim.
Yeah.
You're getting too old for this shit.
Yep. Oh, when we were dancing, like, we were dancing on the dance floor, and, you know, I was having a good time, and there was this other guy who had been dancing all night, and then he got down and started doing some breakdancing. My wife just looked straight at me and goes, no, that's a young man's game. Look at him. Look at you. Don't do that.
Yeah, I'm not trying to scare you out of here.
It might be raining. I can't be slipping. Oh, and last thing about that, and then I will relinquish the mic. Remember how I said you have to do volunteer hours for Michael's school?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to do 40 hours every year. And
or you can like pay, like donate or something to like get out of it, right?
No, that's a separate thing. Although, okay. I did find out that you get charged $30 an hour for every hour you don't commit, that you don't do by April. And I was like, oh, so that's like $1,200 if you want to get out of it. I guess a lot of money. But there was a silent auction going on, and one of them was, here's your full 40 hours for next year if you win this auction item. And I was like, oh, I'll tell you what I'm bidding on. That. So almost all, so like the bid was like $300 almost all night. I'm like, nope, we're still winning. I'm like, $300 is, you know, it's not nothing, but that's a small price to pay. Then the auction is closing in like 20 minutes and someone outbids us. And now the next bid that I can bid is $600. And Danelle's like, no, that's too much. I'm like, is it though?
think we got our life back.
You're like, the time value of that money is still only $15 an hour. That is minimum wage here.
She's like, Tim, no, that is too much money. And so like there was a separate raffle thing where you would get $20 of your hours wiped off for next year. And I was like, well, I'll put all our tickets in there because she's not going to let me bid the $600. But then I kept pressuring on her until finally she was like, fine, I was like, it's my birthday. Can't I have this for my birthday?
I want 40 hours of my life back for my birthday.
So she said I could do it, and like I'm finagling it, and I get it done. And I realize I do it like this, like 5 seconds before the auction closes. So I'm that guy. So the person's like, "Oh, we totally win." It's like, you know, the auction ends at 9:30. It's 9:29. We're fine. What? Oh, we got a bid, and the auction's over.
I mean, so isn't that kind of how it works?
I but we lost everything else we bidded for because I wasn't paying. I was paying more attention to this. She's like, I bid for like 3 other things. I'm like, yeah, we got a bid. Sorry, I didn't care.
Wait, so you won.
So now, oh, sorry, I didn't finish the story. So then we won that auction. So now we have all 40 of our hours wiped up.
Now for $600.
Yes.
Okay.
The best money I ever spent in my life. I was like, here's the $600. You will not see me again until my son graduates. I'll be there waving at him in his little cap. And he'll be like, who's that guy? I don't know. I haven't seen him all year. That's right, son. You have not.
You'll get to hang out with the other guys, drink some brewskis, get scared of spiders.
You know what you saw? $600 of my dollars just floating out of my pocket. I waved goodbye on the way out. That's how much I did not miss them.
I'm like, oh, that treasure! I will treasure the memory of the time that you're saving me. Anyway, so then they start doing the raffle and they're doing the different prizes, and I'm like, oh crap! I put all our raffle tickets in the 20 hours thing, which now we don't need. Guess what? We won. So now I'm like, I think they have to give us 20 hours of volunteer time at our house. I'm like, can you do some weeding? Somebody mow the lawn. Someone said maybe we could convince them to port it over to the next year. So we'll see if I can do that.
Take a step back. I didn't know you wanted a fucking punching bag.
Yeah. Oh, I've wanted a punching bag forever.
Why?
I like punching things.
All right.
I mean
like, I've known you for a long time, and then sometimes you just bust out something and like it surprises me. I'm like, Tim, you do not usually like physical effort.
Yeah, you're right. I don't. But that's one of the few things that I enjoy doing. Like whenever I see a punching bag, I'm like, oh, I gotta punch that. And now I just have one in my garage that I can punch. And they're cool boxing gloves. Like they were not cheap. So like they're like, you know, they're like legit. Like they're cool in design, but they're like legit boxing gloves.
Do you want to punch with them?
Do you put on wraps underneath those boxing gloves?
I do not.
Tim, put on wraps underneath those boxing gloves.
For what reason?
The boxing gloves are there to help spread stuff out so you do not break the small bones in your fingers and your knuckles. The wraps are there so that you do not sprain or break your wrist.
Do you really think Tim's going to be punching anything that hard?
I mean, he's a sexy little rage monster. This is one of those things. You're really surprised about the boxing stuff. And I was like, huh, that's a thing that I didn't know about Tim. But it tracks.
I mean, yeah. Like, he's definitely got some rage inside. He wants to get out sometimes. I definitely understand that.
I'm not training, you know, to take on the winner of the Tyson Paul fight.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, it doesn't take you. You don't have to punch all that hard if you're putting, you know, your shoulder behind it or whatever. If you're not doing, you know, like specifically like wrist strengthening exercises.
Oh, I am.
Okay.
At least on one hand.
Well, okay. So I guess if you only punch righty like Captain America.
Yeah.
If left, I'm gonna laugh when just Tim gets super into it and just becomes like this buff boxer dude. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy?
I'm gonna laugh too.
Like, how the fuck did I get here?
Look at all you puny pieces of shit.
Like, I don't think you're wrong, Andy, but I also feel like I know Tim and I don't feel like he's gonna do it.
You don't think he's gonna hurt his wrist?
No. I don't think he's gonna do the rapping part.
He's 47.
I can 100% believe he hurt his wrist. I just don't think he's gonna rap his.
By the way, guys, this is Tim, happy birthday. Both on the wrong day and the right day, and today, you know, I'm just shotgunning happy birthday wishes in your general direction. But this has begun my favorite time of year, when I am provably the youngest Tancaster. I do not look it. I do not look it, but I've got the numbers to back up that claim for about actually, two guys, whole weeks.
I've been lying about my birthday this whole time.
Oh, no. No, if you were born in 77, I have this backwards.
No, I'm just kidding. Take it a step back. We're talking about handwriting. Maybe I told you guys. I don't know. But I've been volunteering for this group, and part of my job is to, like, there's a sign-in sheet that's, you know, handwritten that they scan and I have to digitally enter it. And every time I look at this, I'm like, people, can we write like someone else is trying to read this? Is that a zero that you just went extra on, or is that a six? I don't know. It's just like, I don't have great handwriting, but it's just also like, are you even writing this so anyone else can read it? Like, if you just drew like, you know, is that I, is that L, is that one?
Noah's dealing with this thing. Like, so apparently Coben Hootie logged in six times.
But yeah, so it's been like, I'm like, I just wish you just close up your letters. Just make it a little tighter. Come on. can we do that?
My handwriting is a mix of letters that don't quite close and other letters that are closed and shouldn't be.
I mean, I'm sure they're trying to do it like quickly and like, but yeah, I just actually don't know, like I'm kind of disconnected from that part. So I actually don't know if they know that someone's like trying to enter this information, but yeah, some of it's just like, what is, oh, and so they do this other thing where they'll write a number and then they write, you know, maybe they change a number or they're, you know, it was a wrong number and they write over that number, the new number. I'm like, that is so hard to read on a scan sheet, man. I don't know what's first.
When we were filling out our raffle tickets, like we put our names on the back of them and like Danielle had half of them and I had half of them and I was putting my name, our name and our phone number. And she was just putting her name. And then she went back and she's like, "What? Oh, fine. I'll put the phone number too." Anyway, so she's like, she didn't have her reading glasses on. And I was like, it's like I'd done it and it was taking a while. She's like, what are you taking so long for? Like, I'm already done. I'm like, well, yeah, if I just slapped it on there. And she's like, let's be fair. Me slopping it on here without my glasses is still better than your handwriting when you're trying. And I was like, fair.
Yeah, truth.
I'll take that. That is fair.
You got me there. 100%. 100%. Did you have anything else you wanted to share about your week, little Tamer?
No. I've monopolized it for too long as it is.
I was on jury duty. And like, so once you're dismissed, you can talk about whatever went on in the courtroom, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
As a legal expert, I can say
yes. Yeah. So, it's jury duty is important. It is dull. Wait, what
the? Just the fact that the story starts with fucking.
Yes.
it's just a long, drawn out process.
Like, I was like, how am I going to tell the story? Well, first of all, I have to say fucking? ..
That's like, sometimes it's like my.
Then I'll have the intestinal fortitude to continue with this tale.
So the first day, like, we're in this big room where they drop y'all off. And then, you know, they go for all their spiels and videos and all the information. And then, like, a group of people got sent to some other room. And then the judge came into our big room and they took, you know, attendance and she gave her spiel. And then the next day we got dismissed early and we came, like, back Wednesday. And we went into the actual courtroom. And I got nervous. I'm like, it's just like, it seems so official. And like the lawyers seem very serious. And it was kind of a serious thing, but it's just like, I'm like, I didn't even do fucking anything wrong, but I don't want them to keep me here. And so we, you know, I never made up into the box, you know, and so they're going for the questions, right? So the people and then the defense, and the defendant was not in the courtroom. And did not sound like he was going to be in the courtroom at all. And, you know, people obviously were, they told us not to speculate, but of course we're humans. And we're like, what is going on here? And then the defense lawyer, you know, he'd ask some, you know, standard questions. But then he started talking about listen to that. Like, what are you feeling? Have you had any experience with that? Do you understand? Like, some people can't just stop drinking. And I was like, is this guy not here? Because he's fucking like, he's like so much an alcoholic, like he cannot stop and he has to like get treatment. Like, I don't know. You know, obviously they didn't tell us any of that, but it's just like this, like half of his he would spend half of his things talking about the crime, which was robbery and vandalism. The question around that, around police officers, what are your feelings? Are going to be police officers who are going to be witnesses? How do you feel about that? But yeah, then he spent like a good chunk of his time just asking questions about alcoholism and people's experiences. And, you know, do you agree that some people need treatment? And I was like, oh man, I'm sure this will be interesting. and so this is something I didn't know. So they get the questions and they're able to, they got their manager, the 12 people, and they have three alternates. So when they finished, and we went through multiple, like three rounds of people getting dismissed and then filling in again. And then when they got their 12, there's three left over. And I just assume, since those people didn't get dismissed, they were going to be the three people. But I guess that's not the process. Like, you know, the judge comes up and like, okay, normally we pick our three alternates, but let me back up a little bit. So we get to the 12, and I'm assuming like, oh, well, we have the three. We're done. And then when the defendant, he goes, can I have a sidebar? I'm like, motherfucker, we're almost out of here. What are you doing, dude? Come on now. What's going on? But I guess the sidebar was to stipulate that the three people left in the jury box could be the alternates. So she came back, and she's like, normally we would, pick the three alternates, but defense and the people have stipulated, or prosecution, that these three can be the alternates. And that was it. We were done. And it was like end of the day. Like, we were almost at four. I was like, well, if we had not done that, we would have been here another day. But yeah, it was it was an experience. I'm glad I don't do it again for a year. It's like, it's both interesting and dull. You're like, this process is interesting. Learning about the law and all this stuff is interesting. But also when they're just going for all the questions for all the people, you're like, ugh. All right. Yeah. And then it's like they would go for the first group of people. They'd ask them all the questions. And then, they bring in the fill-ins. And then the other people would just all of a sudden remember something. Oh, by the way, I remember this thing. I'm like, do you really remember? Or are you just trying to get on jury duty? One guy did mention jury nullification, and he got dismissed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but the guy used some stupid example. Like, he's like, let's say that this pen, if you took off the cap of this pen, you broke the law. Could you, if that was the law, could you? I'm like, I know what he's trying to get at, but I'm like, if that was the law, no, I wouldn't fucking find someone guilty. Because that's this fucking stupid law. Like, I didn't get up there, so I didn't get to say that, but I was just like, all right.
You know what? If you really want to get out of jury duty, you should just come. You should just pre-make a T-shirt that says "jury nullification" and just wear it to the courtroom. Maybe go the extra mile. I heart jury nullification.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? That's, by the time this episode hits, that shirt will be available in the Tan store for you to buy and get yourself out of jury duty.
Who are you calling a cootie queen? You lint liquor.
I don't know. I would love to see someone's experience if they wore that. I'm not gonna be the one.
I mean, we are not legally responsible for anything that happens to you. We just made a shirt. I just want that to be clear. It's not legal advice. Hashtag not legal advice.
So I was doing some Googling, Andy, and I didn't do deep research, but one of the things it said is like some court found that it's not jury nullification or voting, like finding someone not guilty when they're guilty is not legal.
I mean, they can find that, but at the end of the day, it's up to the jury to decide if someone was guilty or not guilty.
Gotcha. So, like, as long as you're not spelling out, like, hey, I know this person's guilty, but I'm voting not guilty because of XXXX.
Yeah. So, like, don't say that it was, don't say what you're doing. Just do it.
Gotcha.
So, like, again, how do you convince 11 other people to have that, to be on the same page without saying it?
I mean, yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? I'm not saying it's easy,
gotcha.
But I'm saying that, like, without saying, you know, hey guys, jury nullification is a real thing, there are conversations that people can have around, like, do we really want to find this guy guilty when this law is such obvious bullshit?
RJ on the finication day.
It's something I heard of. You know, rhymes with Barry Alification.
Have you guys heard of Shmurry Shmullification?
But yeah, so, you know, Norwood for duty for a year. chatted to some people there. It was interesting. That was my experience. I'm sticking to it.
I mean, that's good. I'm glad you stand by things that you have, having experienced things that you've experienced.
and I saw Dune on IMAX.
How was that?
So you've seen the first one, right?
Yes, I've seen the first one.
I realize, like, what?
Quit bragging.
Like, I saw the first one.
The first Denis Villeneuve.
Yeah. I realized, like, what hasn't totally grabbed me. Like, they visually look good. The acting is good. I realized, I'm like, oh yeah, I do not care about these characters. Like,
that is the one flaw.
Not like I don't totally care, but I'm just not, like, drawn in. I'm like, oh man, I'm so worried about them. But also, like, maybe because I have some kind of idea of, like, what the story is like, because I've seen, you know, the David Lynch Dune. But yeah, I'm just like, I was like, oh yeah, like, I'm just not totally, like, feeling sucked in by these characters and, like, feeling some type of way about them. Like, visually looks great. Like, it's, you know, it's a good, and, you know, good acting, good intricate story. I think it's one of those cases where it's just like, you see something that's well made, it's just not for you. Not that it's totally not for me, but it's just not hitting me the same way that I think it's hitting other people. But, like, I think, you know, if you like the first one, then you're gonna like this one.
Yeah, I was okay with the first one. It was definitely gorgeous. And it was definitely better than the David Lynch one, where everybody just whisper thinks all of the plot.
I need to rewatch it because I remember really enjoying that as a kid, but also maybe just because it was like, it's kind of fucking nuts, like, in a sense.
It's, like, very fucking nuts.
Like, I think when I saw it, I don't think I've seen a lot of movies like that before. And I was like, what is going on? That fat floating guy is disgusting.
Yeah.
So is it known not to be a good movie?
I mean, it's one of those things where, like, there are some people who fucking love it. And there's a lot of people who are like, we know who it was going for, and it's fucking David Lynch. So, you know, it's kind of like going to see a Coen movie. You kind of know what you're up for.
Yeah.
His name just fell out of my head. Royal Tenenbaums.
Wes Anderson.
Wes Craven.
Thank you.
I almost said Wes Craven.
That would be a very different movie.
Wes Craven's Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, it's like when SNL did the Wes Anderson version of The Purge.
I don't know if I've seen that.
Oh, okay. We'll add it to the list of links for this episode, and I'll send it to you guys in a minute.
Who are you calling a cootie queen, you lint licker?
No.
Yeah, so it's weird, but I think just kind of in general, it's seen as like that he was like really, really out over his skis with this. That he had an idea of what he wanted to do, but like having characters deliver so much of the plot by whisper thinking it to themselves is just, it's bad storytelling. Like from any perspective, it leans heavily into the tell not show, like all the way through the movie. So, I will say this is probably a little weird, but, the Sci-Fi Channel produced two miniseries, one of Dune and then one for Children of Dune. And I liked those a lot more than either the David Lynch movie or Dune Part One.
Okay. So you recommend it?
I do. But then again, I also watched it when I was in my 20s, and I don't know if I've got nostalgia goggles.
Mm.
I'd like to think not. I'd like to think that I had, you know, decent taste in sci-fi back then. Yeah, you can definitely tell it's lower budget than, I mean, like, nothing is going to approach the visuals in the new Dune films.
Yeah.
But yeah,
someone like pointed out that every time a Dune movie comes out, a Ghostbusters movie also comes out. So the David Lynch Dune movie came out the same year as Ghostbusters. The first one in this new series came out the same year as Ghostbusters Afterlife, and this sequel, Dune 2, came out the same year as Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
That is funny. We just had a similar conversation about the fact that Michael Keaton played Beetlejuice and then Batman, and then 34 years later, Batman, then Beetlejuice. 34? Something like that.
So he's coming back for the Beetlejuice movie?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, the teaser trailer is out, and
oh okay,
you don't see much, but holy shit, I want to see Beetlejuice.
I love you.
What? Fuck, there's some other movie that was like they're making. Oh, The Crow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know the trailer's out, but I haven't seen that one yet.
I've seen the trailer, and I was meh before the trailer, and I'm meh after the trailer.
Yeah, it just looks kind of like generic kind of action-y movie. Like,
yeah, and it looks like it should have been made in about 2007.
Speaking of like kind of remakes, I watched part of the Roadhouse movie. I fell asleep, and like it's fine. Like what I saw is fine. It just loses some of the. There's something about the first one where he plays it so well. Like he just plays. Like, in this version, Jake Gyllenhaal is kind of cocky and he's got a different energy. And it's just, it's a different movie. Obviously, it's made for modern times. But yeah, it loses some of the magic of the first one. Because I love how, like, low-key, is it Patrick Swayze?
Yeah.
Yeah, Patrick Swayze was in the original.
So, I guess I'm just going to kick your ass.
Yeah. And, like, he goes, and I like, his whole kind of, like, philosophy is like you're nice until you're not nice or something like that, or do you mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh it's funny, when the new one just hit Amazon, I was like, oh we could watch that. Caitlin's, no, let's watch the first one first. I'm like, I feel like we should watch one or the other, but we shouldn't watch them like back to back, because we're definitely gonna wind up comparing the Jake Gyllenhaal one to what came first.
You probably still will. I mean, yeah, everyone's different. I still don't understand this thing of like, this other thing came out that's related to the other thing. We need to watch the other thing first.
I mean, yeah, that's just how she rolls.
I mean, I think also for me personally, like, I know there's like finite amount of time.
Yeah.
So, not that I don't ever revisit things, but I think in general, I'd rather just keep experiencing new things more than going back to the old things.
You're not finding any arguments over here.
No, I was just, you know, there's no right or wrong way. It's just whatever your preference is.
I know.
And I watched the Black Mirror movie.
What? I say, except there is right and wrong ways. Oh, wait,
what? Well, I mean,
No.
I watched the Black Mirror movie. That was a good movie.
All right.
Enjoyable. One guy chews up the fucking scenery.
Oh, well, while he's typing on his little, like, thumb pad thing.
Not when he's typing on the thumb pad, but he just fucking yells a lot. He's an angry person.
Oh.
And it's so interesting.
Is he angry
to see
that he brought an iPad, a BlackBerry instead of an iPhone?
No. He made some money off it. So he wasn't angry about that.
I am just now realizing this movie is actually about BlackBerries, like the phones.
Yeah. What did you think it was about?
I don't know what other movie I thought BlackBerry was like a heist film or some shit. Like, I don't know what wires got crossed in my little brain, but I was like, man, that's a weird thing to name a movie. No, it's not, Andy. It's a perfectly normal expected thing to rate. Woo. Guys, my brain goes loco sometimes. Or I guess there's just certain things I do not pay close attention to. And then other people talk about it. And it's like, oh, huh.
Yeah, this movie definitely seemed like it flew on the radar, and the only reason I know about it is because, like, I watched a couple of videos about, like, here are the best movies of 2023, and that one was on the list, like, a couple different lists. So I was like, I should watch that one. Yeah, it's very much like, very dialogue-heavy movie. Like, they try to, like, you know, obviously they're definitely tweaking the story. So, you know, things happen just in the the right time for, you know, things to go right, you know, that type of thing. But he was like, you know, well acted. It's got that one actor who's been in like a couple of Judd Apatow movies and I like him a lot. And then the guy who plays like the main character who's like, he's like the CEO of BlackBerry, co-CEO. He's like, you know, he's balding, got gray hair. I looked up the actor. I'm like, oh, he is a good looking person. Like, but he really kind of disappeared into his role.
All right.
So there you go. Are we still trying to do our top five?
I wasn't sure.
I can do my part of the top five real quick, and I can also talk about my week real quick.
I definitely have a hard out about like 10:30. So
okay. Nothing major to report this week. We watched a bunch more of Daredevil. I realized that the second half of Invincible season 2 was coming out, so I rewatched a little bit of season 1 just to like the end, not the whole thing, just to like, you know, reset myself, and then started to watch the Adam Eve since that came in between the two things, and I feel like I'm forgetting something. Oh, got a job. That was the other thing
that happened. I was like, this week. Didn't forget that, Andy. You little scallywag.
I know. I am a scamp.
this is not really spoily, but there's a lot of cliffhangers in the second half of Invincible. Where it's like, okay, we're getting the episode there. All right, cool.
All right.
That's all.
I haven't Good seen enough. Any of Invincible, so I am commentless.
Well, there's a guy, and
he's not really invincible.
And I bet they don't use the Michael Jackson song "Invincible" at any point during the proceedings.
Not no, but they do so the same. Far.
Doo-doo.
Where someone will say something and they'll cut and then they'll show the title screen. So like the title screen of "Invincible" is completing their sentence.
Oh.
Yep.
Like the word "Invincible" would be the next line of dialogue.
Yes.
Like okay, I'm like, is it just like they're cutting off and like imagine what that means for yourself? What are we gonna say next? Wait, Elliot, where is it? Oh, it's not here, son of a bitch.
Imagine what that means for yourself.
Like that. Yes, thank you.
Hey mom, what's a 10-letter word that means cannot be defeated? And then just the splash of Invincible up on the screen.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't sure if it was like, you know, the CSI Miami. We're like, and now we're, you know, making a stupid pun. Wah! And so, like, it was a similar thing, but it was just Invincible.
No, it's like, yeah, somebody says a sentence that's going to end in the word Invincible or going to contain, you know, like they're talking about Invincible or something like that. And when they say it, and it's like, it just cuts off and the title splash goes up and just says
Invincible. So at any point have they said, hey, what was Michael Jackson's last studio album before he died? Bam!
Not as of season 1, but I would have to leave it to Noah to speak for season 2.
I don't recall that line being said.
Come on, money, Invincible, the show, you're leaving money on the table.
Are they though?
Table.
What?
I mean, it's not a lot of money.
It's like
might not even be able to make a phone call.
Like, if you like ultra-violent cartoons, it's not bad. Like, yeah, I feel like I definitely watch anime that I like better than this. Like, it's not bad, but I feel like it's not really grabbing me this season. But, like, they got a lot of voice talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
J.K. Simmons, Steven Yeun? Sandra Oh. Seth Rogen, I think Philip K. Brown, is that his name? No, Sterling K. Brown.
Yep.
I feel like he's doing a voice. I know there's other people I'm missing. Because they've also had like, Jason Mantzoukas, he's in there.
Zachary Quinto.
Yep.
Quinto. I don't know how hard the U gets it there. Yeah, there's fuck tons of talent.
How did you enjoy the first half of this second season?
Oh, I haven't even started the second season. I watched the end of the first season. I wasn't even going to start the second season until because it was the whole thing where it's like, we're going to put out four now, and then we're going to wait a while, and then four more will come out. I'm like, fuck that. I am waiting for the second four.
Gotcha. Okay.
So now that we're like a week and a half away or whatever from the last one coming out, I'm like, oh, okay, I think I'll start to watch that when it's just me.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah.
I saw Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
It was fine. Like, it wasn't amazing, but it wasn't bad. But it was at least funnier than the Ghostbusters Afterlife, which I feel like it was just so reverent towards the original movie. Like, oh my gosh, look at this. It's a proton pack. Do you remember those? Those were great. Oh, look. That's a ghost trap. They had those then. We have them now. Look. Oh my God, it's the Ecto-1. Bow down and praise your God, the Ecto-1.
Tim, you don't watch South Park, do you?
No.
Hey, remember proton packs? It's a whole thing. They've got these little tiny berries that are called member berries.
Member berries. I've heard of that.
Yep.
But it wasn't, but I like, even like, because I get like from nostalgia, like you'd be like, oh, hey, look at this. And like, but like, it's lighthearted usually. I felt like Afterlife was like, look, take us seriously. It's back and you're welcome. We have brought back your God for you to worship.
Yeah.
Like, we're not joking. There's no jokes right now. It's time for you to remember the Ghostbusters was the greatest movie that helped save our country from the apocalypse. It's like, wait, no, it's just a movie we found very funny.
No, it saved us from the apocalypse.
And so this one was less of that. But there's a couple, there's like Easter eggs in there, and they're more in that spirit. Like, oh, hey, they're using the slime thing from Ghostbusters 2. That's funny. But it's like, it's in the background while their stuff is going on.
That's
also
good.
I was worried. I saw James Acaster was in it, and in the trailer, it looked like he was somebody who died early on to prove the situation is serious. All I will say is he does not die early on.
Who is James Acaster?
He is a British comedian. He's on a lot of those chat shows.
Okay.
He's been on Seth Meyers a lot. Well, at least twice.
I heard. I don't know. But you know, I've only heard one person that didn't like it, but other people I heard really really enjoyed. Kamal? Wait.
Kamal Nanjiani?
What? Kamal? Wait. Say again.
Kamal Nanjiani.
Thank you. I was like, I got the last part. I heard he was really good.
Yeah. Oh, there is no point to Bill Murray being in the movie. I feel like they did not. I feel like up until shooting time, they weren't sure if he was going to agree to it. So like his part could be completely written out and the movie changes zero. Also, the guy from Stranger Things, like, I feel like they're just like, we got to give him something to do. OK, well, have him do this. Well, how does that affect the plot? Shut up. Stop asking questions. We just need him to be in it because we need him and Bill Murray on the poster.
Is he? I mean, I guess he's like a draw.
He's like, yeah, look, well, he's going to interact with Slimer. There, perfect. Now we can put Slimer on the poster too.
Has Slimer been in every movie now?
No, he was not in the last one.
Oh, okay.
He was not in Afterlife.
Gotcha.
I've heard people say it has a real Ghostbusters vibe, like the old animated cartoon. I didn't really feel that, but that's what people say.
I've heard that sentiment as well.
All right, are we ready to light this candle?
Let's do it.
I feel like we should wait till next week, but...
All right, let's wait till next week.
I just feel like it can get a lot of discussion, and like no,
I was making a Crow reference.
I missed it.
Okay, that's fine.
I wouldn't say you missed it.
Yeah, probably.
It's just some typical Andy bullshit.
Aw, your shit's not bullshit, Andy.
I mean, no, it's Andy shit by definition. Yeah.
Imagine what that means for yourself.
Yeah. Oh, there was another thing. Caitlin and I started watching Dead to Me on Netflix. And I'm only like halfway through the second season of it. But so far, so great.
Also, you guys are actually watching a show together.
Yes.
You agreed on a show and you watched it.
We often
agree. Talking about his family. I'm like, we are?
Yeah.
I'm not watching any of this shit.
I'm just give you a crap because I feel like a lot of times it's like, I want to watch this show. And Caitlin was not in the mood to watch that show.
There's a lot of that. This is like she had said for a while. She's like, oh, you know, I watched the first season of this show. You are definitely going to love it. We definitely like we have to add it to our list. And when we got done with Silo, we were like, man, that was really good. I was like, what should we watch next? She's like, we got to do this. I'm pulling the card. You know, we want Silo was your vote. I get to vote this time. I'm like, all right, well, let's give it a shot. And early on, I think the first or second episode of the show, I was like, fuck, I know what the big reveal is going to be. I know what this season is leading towards. And they revealed it like 5 minutes later in that same episode. I'm like, what the fuck are they doing? These are the kind of things that shows like this, like just sit on, like this show does not sit on shit. Like at the point where you think, you know, which way the show's, it's like, oh yeah, it's definitely going to turn out to be this. The show is like, yep, it turned out to be that. This show, like all of the actual twists and like the actual secrets in this show, it keeps them buried way in its back pocket. It's like, fuck, I did not see that coming.
Oh, so they outsmarted you on
there. They have been consistent. It's cleverly written. It's got, Christina Applegate and her name just fell completely out of my head.
Hawkeye's wife?
Yes, Hawkeye's wife.
Ellen Muth?
Who went to the school Danelle teaches at.
Laura Harris, Callum Blue, Cynthia Stevenson, Mandy.
No, it's an Italian last name.
Linda Cardellini. Oh my God. Yes. I was like, I had the C, and I couldn't do anything with it for some fucking reason, which is really embarrassing. Because
what
are you
watching? What show is it?
Dead to Me.
Like Me or Dead to Me?
Dead to Me. Dead oh. Like Me is a different show.
Yeah. I was looking up Dead to Me. I was like.
Yes. No, this is. I was wondering why you were naming all those other names. I was like, man, no, that's like, you're way off base. Yeah, so like the two female leads, James Marsden is also in it. And yeah, like the two of them playing off of each other, and like there will be patterns between characters. There's snappy dialogue, but there's also like a lot of stuff that gets like repeated, and you start to like pick up on these repeats, and they're meaningful. Like there's a lot of layers to this, and there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff that gets said where it's like the obvious, like the things that you think it's obvious. It's like, oh yeah, I can see this coming a mile away. It's like, it acknowledges, yeah, you can definitely see this coming a mile away. And we're just going to show that to you. But then there's like so many other fucking layers of this show where it's with the character interactions and like the internal stuff of the characters and like what their internal motivations are and like why they do the things that they do. Yeah. So, again, I can't speak for the totality of the show. I have no idea if there's another season coming after the, I think, three that are already out. But I can say 2.5 seasons in, fucking loving this show.
We did not get into it. We started, I think, a couple episodes and we're like, nah, this is, the tone of this is not for us.
It's, yeah. Kind of crime mystery, black comedy, relationship drama. It's got a lot of shit going on. But yeah, like you got to be okay with it being like, it's not quite a pitch black comedy, but it's a dark comedy when it's comedic. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's my pitch. You know, see it if that sounds like it might resonate with you, or don't see it because it's your life okay. And you have to decide what you're going to do with it. I'm not your parent.
I probably will never watch it.
Probably.
And not because it's not good. It's just like there are a lot of things I'm trying to do with my limited time around here.
There are indeed a lot of things. It's a big world.
But
it's bullshit.
Know, maybe one of these days, like a year in the future, you know, I'm like, you know what? What am I going to watch? I'm like, you know what? Dead to Me. I remember Andy mentioned that.
Gonna watch Dead Like Me on accident because you'll forget by then.
No. Now I got it because Christina Applegate. Dead to Me, yes. Christina Applegate. And when I was looking at the other list, I was like, why is it not listing Christina Applegate?
Yeah.
And she's dealing with some medical thing, right?
Oh yeah, MS.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has the breast cancer gene. So like she's already dealt with with that. Did, I think this was like a decade ago, did a double mastectomy because she's like, you know, I'm not going to go the same way. I think it was her mom. Maybe mom, maybe aunt, maybe grandmother. I can't remember, but it was like, she got herself tested for the gene when she had it. And it was like, you know, it's, I guess if you have whatever gene she had, it's more of a question of when, not if you'll get breast cancer. She's like, fuck that. Cancer's not getting me. It's like, damn. but yeah. She's since been diagnosed with MS, which is another reason why I don't know if there's going to be another season of this. Cause I thought that I'd heard that she was taking a step away from acting.
Mm.
I don't want to check cause I really don't want anything to spoil it for me.
Gotcha.
I have no idea if like season three is like, that's just the natural end of the show. And like, there isn't another one. So like, I haven't even looked to see if there's another one coming up. Cause I kind of want to be able to go into season three and just take it as it is.
So if I looked up for you, you wouldn't want to know.
Yeah, probably not.
Okay.
I think I'd probably be more okay with knowing from you, you know, trusting you to like censor stuff. I think a big fear is like, what else will be spoiled? Cause I feel like anything that I go read it on, it'll probably be like, and naturally there's no season four because everyone died in the season finale.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Like, I feel like this is one of those things where it's like, I can't just get an answer. It's like, I'm going to get an answer with context and the context is going to be spoilers.
Well, it looks like there is an answer.
Okay.
The answer is 11.
The answer is Cheeto dust.
A small child's Sunday trousers.
So
Finn Wolfhard.
I probably won't get to it for a long time, mm-hmm. but I'm curious, what is this, and maybe if Annie's, Tim's okay with it. What was the thing that you thought was going to be the long arching thing, but it was spoiled in like the first, you said first episode?
I think, it was the first episode. Okay. So Tim,
is Tim okay hearing?
What? I couldn't care less.
I mean, yeah, it's a thing. Like I said, it's a thing that gets spoiled in the first episode.
So I've probably already seen it.
So, well, yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, so this is going to be less of a spoiler and more of a, does Tim even remember this?
No!
Christina Applegate's character, Jen, is, she's going to a grief counseling group therapy thing. And she meets, it's clear, like, she kind of doesn't want to be there. And like, she kind of thinks it's, maybe bullshit or not helpful or something. Like, she's resistant to it. And like, everything about it kind of pisses her off. But she meets Linda Cardellini's character, Judy, who is also there to deal with grief. And, you know, the two hit it off. They kind of, you know, like find they find kind of like a mutual energy in each other of, you know, they're both sort of dealing with their grief, but at the same time, it's like, it's like they both also are kind of skeptical of like what's how people are telling them to deal with their grief and kind of have some different thoughts about how they should deal with it. Maybe, you know, it's like hanging out and having, you know, time and drinking wine and, you know, screaming at things or whatever. Like, maybe that's the way that they should be approaching these things. And you find out that, that Christina Applegate's character, is dealing with grief because, her husband died in a hit and run. He was out running late at night. Somebody hit him, drove away, and he just died there on the side of the road. And as I'm watching all this stuff develop, I was like, shit, it's going to be Linda Cardellini's character, Judy, hit him. And that's going to be the big reveal at the end of this season. Fuck, I can already see where this is coming. And I can see like there's little tiny moments and whatever. I'm like, but yeah, well, okay, I guess I'll just keep watching this because Caitlin said it's really good and she really wants to watch it. You know, I'll keep watching this. And like, right at the end of the first episode, they cut to Linda Cardellini's character driving a car and hitting Christina Applegate's husband. It's like, oh shit. Like, this is, and there's been other stuff where it's like, where I think I'm ahead of the plot and like whatever I thought I was ahead of, maybe I was, but I was ahead of it like 5 minutes and that's it.
Wait, not so smart now. And you, Andy, what happened?
Wait, she's the one who hit the husband? Just kidding.
Ah, you little son of a gun, you. You little son of a biscuit eater.
Nah, I'm a biscuit eating son of a gun.
Biscuits are buttery.
Do you remember that commercial? I don't remember where it was like, you lint liquor. Do you remember?
No, Orbitz? It was one of those gums that's supposed to clean up your mouth.
Yeah, there's those two ladies just calling each other like weird insults.
Who are you calling a cootie queen, you lint liquor?
Yeah, that randomly popped up on my social media feed.
You dirty mouth, clean it up with whatever the fuck this gum is. And like cheery 60s.
Well done, commercial.
Lady.
We've remembered your commercial, but not your gum.
Yep. quickly, I told you when I worked at Google, we had free Orbit gum, and I would just grab like a pack or two every day, and then it just got ridiculous.
You don't need to tell me this. I remember the stacks on stacks.
Oh, yeah. I guess I was living with you guys at the time.
You were gum rich.
Yeah.
I was gum rich. You know what, Tim? I'm doing all right in gum. I couldn't even go through them all. I'm like, what am I doing?
You're like, I'm living the sweet gum life. You were like a billionaire, but for gum.
Other people were like, man, you know, like, I wish I had fresher breath, but I just don't got that gum money. And Noah's like, gum money, what?
Let me just break you off a piece here. Have the whole pack. You know what? Have two. Yeah. I had a nice little collection of, unfortunately, I think I ended up throwing a lot of it out because I don't think I went through it.
Oh, man. Why, you should have just like popped them all out of the blister pack, gone to the club, and made it hail.
Why wouldn't you just keep them?
That is an excellent question that I cannot answer right now. It was so long ago, I don't even remember.
At a certain point, I was like, no, you know what? Fuck it. I want to be able to say F words.
I think maybe I started eating them and like they'd been so long that like I was like, this doesn't taste quite the same.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, I could be going bad. Like, I don't know.
I mean, they eventually would go kind of stale or something, wouldn't they?
I would imagine so.
Yeah, cannot recall.
I mean, you know, like lots and lots of chemicals break down over time. The ones that don't are forever chemicals and probably don't make good gum.
I will say Orbitz, I don't know about anymore, but at the time, they did last the longest. I was like, I'm still chewing this shit and it's still got flavor.
Yeah, nice.
So yeah, remember guys, never trust the spice.
He is the voice that's how to act.
Not today, playing a young. Not today, me volunteering next year at my kid's school.
What was that word? What was that word that you were doing?
Volunteering.
Me?
It sounded weird. So you said volunteering.
Oh, Tim makes this up when he talks to everybody. Let's point out. I'm so much better than Tim. I never mess up when I talk. I'm a piece of shit.
Also, I was going to make a joke that your table handwriting translates to text as well.
or vocalizations. I have terrible handwriting when I talk.
I love the way you talk to him.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You hate it and you want to mock me in front of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that.
I mean, dude, you're not wrong.
Yeah. This week, I hate background checks.
Podcast.
Thank you for being one of the 12 listeners to listen to another episode of the TanCast podcast. If you like it, please talk about it on your social medias, your Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, if you're under 20. Please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also leave a comment on this or any other episode at TanCast.com. Special thanks and love to the late DJ Technoid, who composed the official TanCast theme, and special thanks to Vic, who created the official TanCast album art. Thanks again for tolerating our nonsense, and always remember, you're doing it.
I have been going through background checks since I was 18 or 19. I've been passing background checks just fine. I've gone through a number of very serious background checks to work in highly regulated industries and shit. And still, anytime I'm faced with a background check, part of it is because it's the, like, it's the Baptist guilt that I was raised with. And it's like, oh, fuck, what did I do wrong that I didn't even know that I've done wrong? Part of it is the aspect of like, hey, something rides on this. So it's like, you know, if it's a background check for a job, then it's like, oh, like, will I actually get this job? I thought I had this job, and now they're doing a background check. And then there's a whole other hurdle after everything else that I had control over. Part of it is because I've seen results of my background checks before, and I've found bad information on there. Like, I found people with similar names to mine and like their criminal convictions showing up on my background check. I'm like, hey, the fuck? It's not even the same goddamn name. I mean, it's close, obviously it's close, but it's like, it's the wrong fucking age, a state I've never fucking lived in. Like, what the shit? So that, you know, like, adds an element of unknown risk going into these things. But I think at the core of it, the reason that I hate background checks is it feels exactly like knowing that people are talking about me behind my back. And I fucking hate that. And it's like, if people talk shit to me to my face, I at least know where we stand. I can defend myself. I can punch them, you know, tape up my wrist beforehand because I am getting old. But you know, like, I've got things I can do. But if it's just people and I don't even know what they're talking about. I don't know what lies are being told, or I don't know, like, you know, what questions are being asked, or, you know, what, like, they care about. It's just somebody talking about me behind my back. There's fucking something about that I just still hate. It's been almost 3 fucking decades of this, and it still obviously triggers me because, ooh, there was a night this week I did not sleep well because of that shit. Like, I think I got about 3 hours of sleep that night. Then, like, late the next day, found out, like, oh, yeah, everything was fine. I'm like, oh, thank fuck.
You're welcome.
Oh, you're fucked now?
I'm fuck.
Okay.
I am fuck. Fuck of the mountain. That's a George Carlin bit.
Fuck of the mountain.
Oh, man, now I'm imagining us as, like, superheroes. I'm like, I am here to give a fuck. And I whip my cape out of the way, and Tim's right behind me. No? Okay, well, it's a great heroic moment in my head.
Wait. Wait.
I'm waiting.
Listen for it. Hmm?
The recording has ended. Yeah.